Well, we'll look at this gospel reading just a little bit. Seems like I'm kind of stuck on a kind of a theme, a kind of a really a way of life theme kind of stuff that I see, that I'm beginning to see. And I think most of the reason why is because I look at what's going on in the world today, and I look at the church and what's going on in the church and with people, and it bears a lot of similarities to the late 60s and the early 70s. It's surprising how much the similarities are. And my concern for the church, for Christians, is that we're getting frozen, as if frozen in time, to the place that we don't do nothing. That, you know, that we keep waiting for this thing of whatever. I mean, the words from people are great, and prophetic words, and we should cherish them and all that, but if we're not careful, we can let them kind of freeze us up. You know, it's like, you know, we've had this word for now several years about a revival and a tsunami coming of harvest and reaping, and that's an awesome word. But what are we doing about it? You know? And so this passage here, when I was reading, in which, by the way, I didn't know I was doing this until 11:15 today. And I wasn't even actually dressed. I was just fixing to start dressing to come and I got the phone call. So this is a real short preparation. But it's as short as in today of looking at this scripture, but it's probably 50 years in the making, in that sense, of living a life. And a couple things here, and I'll read this again, part of it. It's the last part. And it says, the kingdom of God is, or likened unto, is one translation and stuff. So when you wonder about the kingdom of God, and as we preach the kingdom and living in the kingdom and seeing from the kingdom, being part of the kingdom, well, this is what it's like. You know, it's not some mystical kind of thing behind the clouds, you know. Or Jesus would have said, the kingdom of God is like this place behind the clouds, right? No, this is what the kingdom of God is really like. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade and then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Now, in our current culture and all, if you want to know how seed sprouts, you can Google it. You know, so we think we know what we know, but we don't really know what we think we know most of the time. You know, I had a guy that I was working with, and this is one of those confessions. I didn't handle it very well. I had to repent afterwards. But we was trying to set up a piece of machinery, and it was real late in the day, and it's a very complicated setup of knives that have to go together to produce a very, very specific pattern on what's called a shaper. And so we're doing that, and we're not, you know, and like I'm just at that point, okay, I got it. And that we go home. Well, when we come in the next day, this guy that was pretty, you know, he's a good guy, but he's clueless about what we was doing. And he was supposed to be working with me for me to help kind of train him and all. He comes up and tells me that he's got it, that he Googled it last night and watched somebody YouTube and doing it, and that he knew it, he had it and all. And so I looked at him and I said, okay. And so he started and he didn't have it. Is you know, because it was just, and he shouldn't have, because it was a very complicated, it was like four different pieces that you had to put together in a very specific order, And there was other pieces that had to match up into it. So it was not an easy task at all. You had to get it in your head real clear. And of course, I explained to him that he didn't have it in a very un-Christian-like way. And that's where I had to repent. But too many times we think just because we've heard something that we know something, that we know what to do and how to do and stuff. And so, unfortunately, in our culture, we think that we know how seeds work because we've seen it on TV and people have explained it to us. And you can go down the road and see all this co-ops and tractor supply places and Walmart's plant place and all that kind of stuff. And we think that we know how to make seeds grow properly. You know, Rosemary might appreciate this. One of the things I thought about was that, you know, this poor guy that Jesus is talking about here, he put seed in the ground, you know, and he went out there and he'd look at it every day. He might pick a weed or two until it grew, and then he harvested. Now, us in our infinite wisdom, you know, we've so analyzed a seed and broken it down chemically into its base nothing of what it is, and then we remake it so that it grows faster, bigger, and produces a whole lot more than the original seed would. But now we're finding out that most of the times that's not very good for you. You know, that it's just not very good for you. A classic example of that is probably wheat, you know, that we have today has so been modified so much that it's actually harmful to some people. And all. But do we do the same thing as Christians? If you don't think so, go to a large Christian bookstore and just go in and look at the books that tells you how to do everything. It tells you how to pray for people, just tells you everything. There's hundreds of books on supernatural healing. Think about that for a minute. Hundreds of books on supernatural healing. That doesn't make sense, does it? How can you write about supernatural stuff in a non-supernatural way? But we do it, and we try to analyze it and understand it, and we get all confused with it and come up with some stuff that doesn't always work, rather than simply doing what we do. You know? Back in the 70s and all, there was people that they were known for having healing ministries. And one of the people that I met, just a very, very, they didn't have a name, you know, and all, but they had a great ministry of healing. And they just simply prayed. Very simple. Very simple. And extremely, radically short prayers. It was like, God healed this person of whatever. Thank you, God, that you healed that person of whatever. And that was about it. You know, and their success rate was extremely high. Not theirs, but Christ was. Much like this guy planting the seeds, not, you know, he reaps the harvest of what God has done in a normal, natural, easy way. And then the parable of the mustard seed, and I'm going to cut this short, about it being the smallest seed, but producing the largest plant. You know, the scripture says, do not despise the day of small things. And what I have observed in the charismatic world is that, as a general rule, we despise the small thing. You know, you just do. And too many charismatics, too many Christians, not just charismatics, but because I am one, I get to talk about them more, I guess, having the experience of them, get hung up waiting on the big thing. You know, and they don't want to be the small thing. And so we miss sometimes that opportunity to create an atmosphere where Christ can bring people to rest by just being a small thing. And like I say, this is just particularly something for me. This is a word for me, more probably much more than it is for any of you or anybody on live stream, is that basically what it comes down to is, what are we waiting on? What am I waiting on? You know, am I waiting to understand how to grow corn? Am I waiting to become big, some kind of big thing, in order to be able to provide ministry, provide shade, provide protection, provide comfort for people? You know, I find it always surprising how much non-clergy actually minister to me more than what clergy ever did. When I came into the CNC in the church in Fairfield, they had a bunch of clergy. I don't even remember how many, but there's a bunch, you know, three or four priests, two or three deacons and that kind of stuff. I had a priest that had a reputation of being a great preacher and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I didn't get anything out of those guys. I really didn't. It was really amazing how it was the people that I observed, their devotion and their individual worship towards God, that brought a revelation of God's love to me. Not so much any of the clergy. But it was just other people that was like me that were kind of broken. But let's not despise those things amongst us. Let us rejoice in them. Let us embrace those things. And let's always remember that this is what the kingdom of God is like. It's a place of small things. It's a place of people that don't know what they're doing. They're just doing what they do every day, being who they are every day, and letting Christ live his life through them every day in the simplicity of just life. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.